Hi, this is Dr. Tom Rogers coming to you with a weekly podcast of what I call the Common Sense MD. And I've got a special guest here today. He's been a longtime patient and friend, and he gave me a great idea that every once in a while we should have a podcast that we title Senior Moments. And so this is going to be the first senior moment because we're both kind of old and we're having senior moments all the time. But we have a lot in common, too, because we both study longevity.
Correct.
And actually, this is Donovan Duncan, a longtime patient and friend, as I said. And when I first met you, it was an interesting conversation because, you know, being a functional medicine doctor, trying to find out root causes of problems and helping people age well, you were already on top of this thing because you really – or the one that kind of got me into vitamins.
True.
When I first saw you, you told me how many vitamins you took a day, and I just couldn't believe it. And I thought, you know, to myself, well, he's just wasting a lot of money because he's peeing these vitamins out. But really, I couldn't have been more wrong. So you're just ahead of the game. And obviously, how old are you, Donovan?
I'm 82.
So this is a guy that's 82 years old. He still looks great. He's energetic, newly married. And he's got a lot of vitality, still got a full head of hair. He's fit, and he's a really interesting guy as well. We'll talk about his life in a minute. But I remember when I first met you, you told me that you really loved vitamins and you loved music. And there was one other thing you liked, and I forgot what that was. But
sex.
We'll talk.
I told you.
This is a family show.
Okay.
Not so really. Not really.
About that, how you
I thought it was women. I thought it was women you told me about.
At that point in my life, they were somewhat synonymous.
Okay. Donovan, thank you so much for coming on here. We're going to talk a lot about longevity and your views on it because you've certainly been an entrepreneur your whole life and a real explorer about getting older. And, you know, somebody like you is probably going to live to about 110 and be active. You're going to be in that Dr. Atiyah's group that he calls the 100-year-old Olympics, that to where you feel great at 100 years old. You can lift your grandchildren up. You can, you know, be active and swim, maybe run a little bit and all that. Tell me, when did you first start thinking about longevity?
Well, actually, I can pinpoint it very succinctly in that there was a book came out in 1984 called Life Extension. And I, at this point, don't remember. It was two authors, a young man and a lady. But basically, it was a compilation of all the latest research at that point in time about vitamins and hormones and their impact one upon the other. And when I read it, it just made a lot of sense. Plus, it gives you a little hope, you know, because at that point, you know, you feel like, you know, you're losing some of your testosterone, you're losing muscle mass, you're losing energy. And it just seemed like a downhill slide. So I did not want to accept that. So I started taking one or two vitamins, and now I'm up to about 40 a day.
That's amazing. You know, in medical school, we're kind of taught. I graduated from medical school 40 years ago, and they're still teaching the same thing, that you don't need vitamins. You know, to me, vitamins are part of your nutritional pattern. I mean, you cannot eat enough good flavonoids and all these things to get what you need. I mean, they thought Linus Pauling was a nut, too.
Exactly.
And he's been proven right, you know, all these years. We even give IV vitamin C in high doses for many, many reasons. It's great for cancer. It's great for sepsis. You know, if I got septic, which is a leading cause of death in the hospital, the first thing I would beg for would be IV vitamin C, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
And you won't get it either. You know, the hospital doesn't.
I go, I will.
You know,
I believe in taking control when you get sick, you know, not being at the mercy of people who, you know, have sort of a passing interest, however long they're standing in front of you, then they're going to somebody else. You have to be your own advocate, both in and out of the hospital. And if you're really into it out of the hospital, you won't end up in the hospital.
That's exactly right. Your goal is to stay out of the hospital.
You know, and on the vitamins, the way I looked at it was, okay, from what I can understand about basic physiology and biology, you never know from minute to minute day by day, hour by hour, what your body needs, because it's dictated by whatever happens in your life. But if you keep it in your bloodstream and in the sauce, so to speak, your body will take what it needs. And the doctors are right. You're going to urinate the rest of it. But there's a lot of days you're going to need all of it.
That's exactly right. You know, I notice people like us that take a lot of vitamins. I take a lot of vitamins too, as you know. You just don't get sick. Do you find yourself coming down with a lot of colds and sinus infections and fatigue? And I mean,
no, very, very seldom, you know. And of course, you can't help it. At my age, what I do, if I can find people, if I'm around people anywhere near my age, you make a comparison on how you move and how you think. You know, the biggest thing about movement is thought. And mm-hmm. as you get older, you have to start thinking about moving. But if you're healthy and you're younger, or you think young, you don't think about it.
That's exactly right. You know, I watch the way you walk. I watch the way you get out of a chair. And I'm pretty observant about patients and aging. And it's just incredible to me. To me, you're normal. This is what an 83-year-old should be like. It brings to mind a guy that's a couple years younger than you that I see fumbling around on TV a lot. He's actually 2 years younger than you. And I would like to compare him to you. I'm not going to mention names because I don't like to bring politics into this, as you know. But we both know who we're talking about. And there's a world of difference. I can't imagine interviewing him and having a conversation like this where it's actually kind of coherent.
Yeah, and I don't have a teleprompter, by the way.
You don't? Yeah. Well, you're much more well-spoken, and you certainly move better than the gentleman I'm thinking of. But what do you think about aging? I mean, people your age, I'm sure you go back to your high school reunions, you know, and things like that, and people you grew up with, if they're still around, what's the difference?
I think it's just all in attitude, and attitude brings you to the place where you have to learn to take control of your own destiny. And if you're not willing to do that, then you pretty much deserve what you get.
So are you saying you should do your own thinking and research and not take it
absolutely
for the word of somebody else?
Right, which is going to limit the amount of doctors you can talk to, which is primarily why you're mine.
Yeah, you know, that's a very good point, and I appreciate you saying that. But really, the way medicine has gone in the last 40 years since I've been a physician, it's just crazy. I mean, we have all these advancements. We can operate in utero on a heart, but yet we can't keep people fit at age 50, 60, 70. I think I heard the other day that 50% of our kids have a chronic illness. 50% of our children suffer from a chronic illness, and definitely over 50% of them are obese. So, I mean, that's some pretty sobering thoughts.
Well, and to my way of thinking, a lot of that goes right back to the parenting. I mean, if you talk to all my kids, none of which live with me anymore, obviously, I started talking to them about vitamins. I have conversations with my 48-year-old daughter about Dr. Huberman. Mm-hmm. We both watch that. My other son, as we've talked about, you know, he's read all of Sinclair and Hyman and, you know, all those kind of people. So if the parents aren't, if they're just mimicking the things that they've been taught that is so out of date. And, you know, you also, I teach my kids, look, guys, nobody makes money if we're healthy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You
right.
know, when I took everybody over the years into health food store, and I said, remember now, these people are here to make money. It's up to us to figure out what makes us healthy. But anyway.
Yeah, that's a great point, because it seems like since I've started, all the commercials you see on TV are based on some new drug coming out that, you know, I think they make illnesses up to invent a drug for them. I mean, it's billions of dollars. And you saw during COVID what happened. I mean, really, during COVID, one good thing that came out of COVID is people are kind of skeptical about our medical system now. And they really should be. I mean, I don't think doctors go into this with, you know, bad attitudes, or, you know, they really want to help people. But the system makes it so that it's very hard when you're a physician to not try to churn patients out, do procedures, prescribe the latest drug that they've seen on TV. So it's really... you know, it's bad.
Well, one of the primary reasons that all occurs, one of the biggest culprits, the insurance companies.
Sure.
You know, I've talked to another doctor friend of mine, and I said, you know, why don't you guys ever try it? Why do I know it and you don't? And he says, well, because I've read some of the stuff that you told me to, and if I tried it and I had one problem, I'd lose my insurance.
Yep.
And probably be sued because people have such high expectations anymore. But he said the insurance companies would not pay for any of these things you're talking about.
Yep. I think they're probably the number one bad guy with medicines, the
Absolutely.
Insurance companies. The number two, well, you'd have to say pharmaceutical industry. And number three, you'd probably have to say our government.
Yeah, because they underpin the whole process.
Yeah, and it's all kind of tied in together. The bottom line is you need to take care of yourself. So, and you've certainly done that. I mean, tell me about vitamins a little bit. What do you think are the important vitamins that people should be taking?
Well, yeah, you need to take a multivitamin just because you don't have to take all the ones that I do. I break it down, you know, by individuals. But you need, you know, you need a lot of C. You need a lot of vitamin D3 for sure.
Yeah,
and
that's number one in my opinion.
Right. So that's about the
D with K.
And,
D with
and
K.
Yeah. Well, and I take K with magnesium, and you just have to study it because everybody here again, it's incumbent upon the individual to read, study, and then relate it to their own biology and to how you feel that day. Nobody knows any better about who you are and what you feel than you do.
Exactly right. You have to be your own advocate.
Yeah.
Especially if you end up in the hospital. You better have yourself and somebody else very close to you that stays with you, that watches for things. Because, you know, the leading causes of death in this country, number one is heart disease. Number two is cancer. You know what number three is? A very close third?
Some infection you pick up at a hospital.
No.
Not really?
Well,
okay.
Medical error.
Okay.
And I guess you could include that as part of that. But that's really close to cancer is medical error or mistake. So you have to really be watching out, especially if you're sick enough to go in the hospital these days. You know, it can be a dangerous place to be. It can be a very life-saving place, too. But it can also be kind of a dangerous place to be. They're understaffed, and a lot of times they're not using the latest equipment, budget cuts, not enough nurses. You better have somebody in there with you is what I'm saying.
Well, that's true. You know, I don't know how much time we got left, but a good case in point was even with all what I did because of my genetics, my father died at 42 from a heart attack. I ended up having to have a quadruple bypass. But while I was in there, I had some urology problems, and I woke up one day, and there were three guys standing there, and they were making marks on my stomach where I would have a colostomy bag. And they they had me scheduled to do that. They just made this gigantic leap without talking to me because I had the urology problem. I said, forget that. You know, erased the little marks off. I mean, they literally made marks on my stomach with a magic marker where they was going to go in and do the operation. I started research, and that's where I came across what hyperbaric chambers can do for healing people internally. And everybody knows it's good for the bends and it does good for skin stuff. But I read that in Europe they were using it for some kind of cures and helping to accelerate things to get better internally with a hyperbaric chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went and bought a hyperbaric chamber, a cheap one, but it works. And in about 6 months, that particular problem was gone.
That is very interesting. Yeah, I'm a huge believer in hyperbaric chambers. Wish I had one here. Maybe someday we'll have one. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ways that your body can heal that you can use as ancillary things rather than medicine. Really, in my practice, I try to get people off medications rather than put them on another medication. And if you stay lean, know how to eat, I mean, your family history like you have, it really doesn't determine what's going to happen to you. It's a player, but it's not a major player like your diet and your nutrition, your exercise, your sleep, your stress. I mean,
1, 2, 3, 4, those four things.
I mean, I'm sure being 83 years old, you've had stressors in your life. Is there any words of wisdom since we're doing senior moments as far as how to handle stress? Or because in my opinion, stress is the number one toxin
exercise.
People run into.
You just You just can't beat it. I mean, it's, you know, it's the simplest thing. Walking doesn't take a whole lot. Now, I walk on a treadmill, like I told you before, and I carry 25-pound weights in each hand, and I also have a mask that comes from my oxygen concentrator that's with my hyperbaric chamber, so I'm breathing 99% pure oxygen, walking on a treadmill, and doing curls. And this, none of this is hard to acquire. I mean, it just isn't. You know, I do all this at home.
You'd have a routine where you try to do it the same time every day?
Every morning about 6 o'clock.
Because otherwise you're not going to do it. Something else is going to come up. That's very important. Routine. You need a plan. You need a routine. It's just like brushing your teeth. You do it every day. It doesn't take that long. You don't have to join a gym. You just have to do it.
Yeah, the biggest thing is getting on it, showing up, and of course I watch the news trying to keep up with what's going on in the world. But the fact is, all the things that I do, just anybody can do at home. Now, I do belong to a gym, and I go almost every day because resistance training for older people, especially.
No doubt.
Because the more muscle mass you got, they find out, the healthier you are.
Yeah.
And it also, as a guy, it makes you feel more like a guy, kind of like when you were younger.
Sure,
you know,
it does.
If you want to pick up something, you don't have to think about it or go get help. You just do it.
Exactly right. You know, most people that come to me for longevity purposes, either they are tired or they hurt. Those are the two things people come to the doctor most often for. And exercise is the key to life. Now, it's not a great weight loss tool, but it's the best tool for everything else. There's no doubt. You know, and as we get to be seniors like we are, balance is so important because falls are responsible for a lot of deaths. I mean, maybe the majority of deaths start with somebody falling. I mean, if you fall and break a hip, if you're our age, there's a 50% chance you're going to be dead within 1 year, no matter what kind of health you're in before. So balance is so important. And what causes you to balance well? Muscle, strength. So you're right, muscle.
And some flexibility. And I've got to tell you, I take yoga classes, and it is not a pretty sight because you've got
late. Do you do naked yoga or just regular?
No, I keep applying, but nobody takes me up on it. Anyway, the fact is, you know, if you do yoga and do it, say, 2 or 3 times a week, which was what I try to do, you'll be amazed. I'm never really good at most of the poses. I can do most of them if I cheat a little. I mean, it's embarrassing to do a downward dog, and here's everybody else got their leg up in the air, and they're just locked in like a rock, and I'm...
Yep.
But I'm there.
Yeah.
And then I notice in a day or so, getting in and out of a hyperbaric chamber, if you have the kind I have, you have to lay down and roll in it. And that's where you notice how much more flexible you are is when you're getting in and out of a hyperbaric chamber or getting in and out of your truck.
You're exactly right.
You know, just day-to-day stuff that you don't have to think about because your body does not send you a message that, I got to anticipate this because it may hurt a little, or I have to brace myself or do something a little different. You don't. You just do it. But the yoga thing helps.
Yoga is amazing, as a lot of our people out in the audience would agree, that yoga is just incredible for your body because it is strength and balance.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I firmly believe that somebody your age should be able to be on the floor and be able to get out of the floor even without using your arms. That's a goal for a lot of my patients. So when I get a new patient, I routinely check their grip strength and how long they can dead hang from a chin-up bar. And that's a very good measure of how strong somebody is. As a matter of fact, grip strength is the number one strength indicator for how long you're going to live, is how strong your grip is.
I've read that in the VOX.
Yep.
You know, your ability to process oxygen.
Yep, VO2 max. And, you know, there's ways of doing those now that you don't have to go to a physiologic exercise tank and get that checked. There's very easy ways to do it now. But so a lot of the stuff with longevity I'm really fascinated with. As a matter of fact, that's my passion, is longevity and how to live not necessarily longer, but how to feel better for a much longer period of time. Because, you know, I see guys like you that are 83 years old that have the mind and the body and the energy that you do, it's pretty encouraging. And despite the fact that you have some family history in there that's not the greatest, I mean.
True. And, you know, whatever you do, you're not going to be totally devoid of, you know, real life surprising you with different things. But your body and your mind will be better able to address them if you're healthy to the best you can be. You know, I'm totally convinced that with, the heart thing that I had, that I came back so much stronger than I would have if I hadn't been taking vitamins. Same way, I throw in another, I had a hip replacement. I used a walker for one day, a cane for 2 days, and from then on I started walking, and they were always just kind of amazed at that. Now, a little of it's attitude, I'm kind of hard-headed, but the other thing is, I really think that there's a built-in resistance to your body. If you, it's like putting money in a bank. You're building stuff into your body that you can draw on and when it really, really needs it.
If you feed your body the nutrients, it's gonna last a long time, because we're resilient creatures. I mean, we know how to heal. Our bodies know how to heal on their own if you feed them the right nutrients. You're exactly right. But you're a living example of it. I mean, you know, I guess we met 20 years ago maybe, and you told me you're taking all these vitamins, and look at you now. You haven't gone down a bit. As a matter of fact, you may be better than I saw you when you were 63 years old.
Well, my benchmarks are I want to always be able to bench press, because I'm a guy, you know, so I have a guy's kind of way of looking at things. I want to be able to bench press my body weight, which is a good reason to keep your weight down.
Exactly right.
So, you know, at 180 some pounds, I'm most days I can get there for one rep. Now, can't do 10 of them like I would when I was a lot younger, but that's one of the benchmarks that I use. Being able to handle your own body weight, and a lot of exercises you can do just with your body weight home.
That's what I do, a lot of body weight exercise, a lot of bands, push-ups, planks, pull-ups, dead hangs, farmer's walk, like you're walking with some weights. That's right. A great little way, we call it rucking, but all those things are great for you. All right, Donovan, we're going to have to wrap it up. There's so much more stuff I'd love to talk with you, and we will. We'll have you on again for another senior moment, if you'll come back.
Of course. Yeah, give me a couple of years.
All right, see you in 2 years. You'll be the same as you are now, probably even better. Donovan, thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you guys next week. Thank you.